My guest at this time is Kevin Soling. He's the director of the award-winning documentary, The War on Kids, and the author of the Student Resistance Handbook. He joins me now to discuss some of the ways our current education system fails our children, both in terms of curriculum and how the kids are simply treated at school. And Kevin, thanks very much for being with us.
Well, thank you so much for having me on the show.
You noticed a story that did not get a lot of national attention over the past several days, and that was a former legendary astronaut John Glenn, who was also a U.S. senator for many years, saying that he believes that scientific discovery should be taught in schools, and that includes evolution. He does not suggest the same thing for intelligent design or creationism, saying he sees no contradiction between believing in God and believing in evolution. Your point on this is essentially that there is an argument to be made for a lack of, you know, verifiable science in some parts of the intelligent design debate, but you think it should cut both ways. Explain what you mean there.
I have no love or sympathy for intelligent design. My complaint is with the science community in that they are critiquing one component of compulsory schooling, that they're saying that science should be taught in schools, which tacitly accepts the whole compulsory schooling construct. And my argument is that there's absolutely nothing science-based to the structure of compulsory schooling, that compulsory schooling is an experiment, it's an intervention that is designed to have some kind of purpose that's never been, you know, adequately defined. And there's never been any test, there's never been any experimentation to show that compulsory schooling is effective at whatever it allegedly is designed to produce. And if one posits several different things that compulsory schooling could potentially produce, literacy, work skills, democratic values, social skills, one sees that compulsory schooling actually fails in every single one of these categories. So my complaint is that the science community is saying that a component of curriculum of an institution that is wholly unscientific should be changed, and that itself belies any kind of scientific mission and is grossly hypocritical.
Slow down just a little bit and go back to the point you made a moment ago about why you believe compulsory education has failed in the core areas that you believe it's supposed to instill in our students, but actually doesn't. Walk us through those real briefly.
Sure. Well, if you look at literacy, which I guess is probably the one that most people would argue that schools are designed to instill, well, in 2003, the Department of Education did a study and showed that only 13% of American adults were deemed proficient in literacy skills. And literacy skills, conceivably, that is the highest category they had, but it's simply skills necessary to perform complex and challenging literacy activities. And one would imagine that when you have a population that's forced to go to this institution for 12 years, 9 months out of the year, for 5 days a week, that one would produce better results than that. And again, it hasn't been tested against other approaches to education. Work skills, if you want to produce work skills in today's environment, you'd want to develop critical thinking, you'd want to develop collaboration, scientific literacy, creativity, innovation. None of these things, initiative and self-direction, none of these things are taught or developed in schools. Democratic values, well, schools are run a fundamentally fascist environment where you have an autocracy where the population that's in the school is deprived of almost all of their civil rights. So there's certainly no direct experience of democratic values.
What civil rights are they deprived of?
First, you have a population that's forced to be in a place against their will. That in and of itself is a fundamental and gross violation of the most basic civil rights. And then their speech is limited. Their capacity to, you know, go where they want, be who they want, socialize with who they want. Their due process is severely limited. Search and seizure is severely limited. So they don't enjoy the most basic civil liberties. And this is this toxic environment that they grow up in. And so they come to have diminished expectations of an understanding of what their civil rights are. In fact, there was a study done of 112,000 students who roughly half of them either had no opinion or believed that the government should be overseeing the press, that the press should have to get permission before printing articles outside of school. And, you know, the school press is already a censored environment, too.
Kevin, obviously folks see a lot of difference between what kids are learning now and, say, what they learned a couple generations ago. There was a lot more focus, of course, on, you know, the great books, even the Bible as literature. You could have more difficult and more practical math issues, and just a very different way of teaching material that was a lot more challenging at the time. So is your problem with compulsory education as a whole, or in how it's being done and what is being taught?
The problem is with compulsory education as a whole, and my research actually showed that it wasn't that, that the whole, you know, notion that schools were once better in the past is a myth. Prior, you know, to compulsory education, the first place it was implemented was Massachusetts in 1852, and before then, literacy rates were 98% of the population. It's never been that high since. It was implemented for as ideological reasons to try to create an egalitarian society. So the only reason why schools seem to have been better in the past was that the populations in the schools were either more homogenous or because of other civil rights abuses that were so suppressed, you know, as far as women and minorities had no voice, that it just appeared as if things were functioning better, when in fact things were worse in many ways.
So what's the answer here? Is it homeschooling? Obviously, private education has a lot of the same attributes as public schools. So what is your solution here?
The solution are developing self-directed learning, and there are many different approaches to that. And the thing is, you have to appreciate and understand that all people are different and have different needs. Some people require more structure than others, but there's democratic schooling where kids, you know, again, it's you know, in intrinsic motivation comes from following the things that you're interested in, and this doesn't mean that adults, you know, play no role. But adults have a major role in helping guide the students, introduce them to new ideas that they otherwise, you know, wouldn't come across, and helping support the interests that they have already. But they're in the role of mentors, and so the structure can be, you know, rather rigid if that's something that the individual child requires, or quite free in the case of an example of unschooling, where the child, you know, can just, you know, have tremendous amounts of liberty. So there are already a number of different approaches out there that exist. But again, they need to fit the individual and what their education needs are, as opposed to being imposed on them.
Kevin, obviously there are very few people out there who are big fans of standardized testing, but under your system, how do you gauge how much is being learned, how well students are coming along, and whether or not they're prepared to be contributing members to society eventually?
Well, that's not for, you know, other people to judge. That's for the individual to judge. You know, they decide whether their needs are getting met. And if you look at examples in places like, for instance, democratic schools in Sudbury, where the students have this degree of autonomy, and the research has shown that these people do become, you know, healthy, productive members of society who you know, go on to achieve many great things that you know, fall within their purview. And to have that kind of outside determination of what, you know, constitutes being educated is fundamentally flawed. The way things are structured now in terms of the testing, it's so arbitrary, and it's certainly not measuring anything of any great value or import.
Ultimately, who makes the call here, the parents or the kids? Because most parents, whether they've simply obviously believed into the compulsory education system or not, would probably prefer their kids to be in school. So even if the kids don't want to be there, but the parents do, from your perspective, who ought to be making the final call here?
Well, it needs to be a mediated decision between the parents and the child. Parents need to listen to and respect the decisions and the interests of their child, which is something that is the institutions train them not to do. And there are great destructive, you know, consequences as far as, you know, the high rates of illiteracy and also diminished empathy has been shown to be a factor of compulsory education. So I think parents need to have you know, society needs to provide and finance these alternatives to, you know, take the money that's going to compulsory schooling and help fund and provide these different opportunities for parents. Parents need to wean themselves off on this notion that compulsory education is beneficial when it is not. And they need to listen to and respect their kids more. And it's mediated, and hopefully parents will work things out with their kids to do what is, you know, and they can decide what is best and what works best.
Kevin, it's a fascinating topic and definitely a perspective that I think a lot of people are hearing for the first time. So it's great to have new ideas out there. Thank you very much for your time today.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Kevin Soling is the director of the award-winning documentary, The War on Kids. He's also the author of the Student Resistance Handbook. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.